Ja. Just recently, I read a Christian book which is quite controversial in some circles. It's a work of fiction, it's a novel, and it's called The Shack. Now, I wonder how many here have read it. We've got a couple around. It's good. It's a story. It's a fiction story. It's a man whose name was Mac. It's a very, very sad story. I actually got quite emotional when I read some of it. Because this man, his young daughter, I think she was 8 or 9, was taken and was murdered. It was in the most horrible way you can think. One of these psychotic kind of deranged people who just prey on kids. Took this little girl and murdered her. As you can imagine, this man, even some year just after the event, very angry man. Angry, bitter, hostile towards God. And although his wife, she's managed to keep connection with God and has a loving relationship with God, and she calls God Papa, he doesn't. And then one day, he's by himself, his wife and family are away, he's in the place they live, a very isolated spot, it's in the middle of winter. He goes down to his letterbox and he finds there a letter from God. It's an envelope, it's just got his name on the front, that's all. He opens it and it says, "Missed you. Let's get together this weekend at the shack and catch up. Papa." He doesn't know, of course, what it is, and he mulls over it for a while, and he decides that he will go. Now, this shack is very important, because the shack is an old fishing shack way out in the wilderness, isolated, near a lake, and it was there that they found the remnants of the little girl's clothing and the blood, not the body, and they knew that's where she died. So it was a very, very emotional place, somewhere he would never go. But he decides he will go, doesn't tell anyone, and he goes out to this shack. And the story is that there he meets with God. He meets with the Trinity. He meets with God in the physical form, the physical manifestation of three persons within the Trinity. And it's here, if it hasn't already started, that the controversy really begins. Because God the Father is revealed to him as a large American African-American Negro woman. A large black woman. She's older than he is. She's a mother type figure. And she tells him to call her Papa. Now you can imagine, it's here that people start to have a really huge problem. Because we know, we all know so clearly, and we know it's true, that God has revealed himself to us right through the scripture in the masculine as Father. We know that Jesus calls him Father, and of course Jesus is his son. And we know also when Jesus tells us to pray to God, he says, when you pray, say, Our Father. Oh, of course we know that God is spirit, and being spirit, he is neither male nor female. That is very true. But the scriptures always refer to him as the Father, never as the Mother. So, how dare, people say, how dare this man, even though it's only a novel, how dare this man present God in the form of a mother? And they put the book down. What is very interesting is that when you continue working through the story, you discover that at the very end, God comes to him again, and this time the outward appearance has changed. He becomes to him a father. And in fact, he appears to him as a strong outdoor type of father, you know, the backwoodsman type of father, complete with the plaid shirt and the long ponytail. And a very active, older man, a very wise man. And through the story, it has become clear that this man, Mac, had huge problems throughout his life relating to God as Father, because of his own father. See, his own father had been a very religious man. He was a lay preacher in the local church. That was his outward life. But what happened at home was very different. His father was an alcoholic. He was a wife beater. And he used to beat his children. And Mac recalled very vividly when he was only 14 or 15 how his father sent the family away because he was so cross with Mac. And he whipped Mac the whole weekend in drunken rages. Mac had enough. He left home. Before he left home, he went round and found every stash of liquor that his father had and put rat poison in it. And then he went, and he never heard any more of his father, never dared, never worried to find out, didn't even know whatever happened to him. So, you see, at that time, in the midst of all this trauma that Mac had been through, what he needed most was to sense the mothering characteristics of Almighty God. And it's the mothering characteristics of God that Jesus referred to in this passage that we had today. There was actually a verse that we didn't quite get to at the end, Serena, but that's okay, we're going to still look at it now. And it's in Luke chapter 13, and it's verse 34. And this is what Jesus said. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. The background to this story is that Jesus is reacting to some Pharisees. He says something like this in another place too, and it's even more obvious then that he's very cross and upset with the Pharisees. But the Pharisees had told him, leave this area because King Herod wants to kill you. But what they really meant was, leave this area because this is an area where we have very limited power over you. Move from this area into another area of Judea, especially to Jerusalem, because that is where they had their power. For even then they were plotting his ultimate death. And they knew they couldn't do it where he was, back in the Galilee region, but they could do it in Jerusalem. So they wanted to shift for that reason. And as Jesus looks at these people, he saw them, these Pharisees, these very hypocritical Pharisees, as representing the people of Jerusalem. And he knows so many in Jerusalem are just like them. People who were so sure of their own righteousness and yet living hypocritical lives. People who were so independent, they didn't need anyone to help them through. Sounds rather like Australians, many Australians, doesn't it? People who didn't want a God who called them sinners. People in rebellion against the Saviour of the world. And to such, Jesus speaks on behalf of the Godhead. You notice that? And he tells them how God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit yearns to be to them. How? Like a mother hen to her chickens. God wants to protect them. To give them safety and security. To forgive them and to have compassion on them despite the way they treat him, despite their stubbornness, despite their hatred of him. He yearns to bring them back to where they belong, yet they would not have it. Yet they were not winning. Find a similar characteristic of God as applied to the children of Israel, recorded by Moses in Deuteronomy 32, verses 9 to 11. For the people of Israel belong to the Lord. He found them in a desert land, in an empty, howling wasteland. He surrounded them and watched over them. He guarded them as he would guard his own eyes, like an eagle that rouses her chicks and hovers over her young. So he spread his wings to take them up and carried them safely on his pinions. Beautiful passage, isn't it? You know, there's no other way to interpret this passage than to acknowledge that the author is picturing God as a brooding mother eagle in order to show these characteristics of God. an eagle protecting her frightened chicks, carrying her chickens safely on her wings. That is a description of God, you know, interacting with his people, protecting them, providing and nurturing his children, Israel, but also us. And it's a great encouraging and reassuring picture of God, isn't it? I read somewhere, and I think this only applies to a particular line of eagles, but I read somewhere that a female eagle is one third larger than the male eagle, which enables her to spread her massive wings over the eaglets to protect them. She spends the most time on the nest once the chicks have hatched, and her alertness and speed assures that no predator will touch the eagle under her watchful eye. What a beautiful, powerful image of mothering care, isn't it? And to know God cares for us in that way. So when we start to think about these mothering characteristics, if you can call them that, of God, we discover that our God is a God who yearns for the most rebellious of us, the most rebellious people in the whole world, to be drawn back into his love and into his care. And he has that special acceptance of us. However we come back, whether we come back willingly or kicking and screaming or half-heartedly, however we come back, he's still got this loving acceptance of us. And that I see in the way most mothers act too. In my dealing with parents, I've often been in a situation where a child has rebelliously left the family, often in their teenage years. I normally find both parents, when I start to talk to them, strongly desire, they want their child back. They want their child back into their home. And both want the child to learn from this experience. They want them to come back knowing that they've made a mistake and ready to toe the line. They want them to return with remorse and repentance. Yet you know something? I always seem to see in the mother a slightly different priority to the father. She wants the child back, whatever. She's more interested in getting the child back than actually getting the child reformed. She wants him reformed, but she wants the child back. It's the father who really wants to see some evidence of change, some sign that there's been renewal and that trust can happen again. And I think when we see the fatherhood of God and the motherhood of God coming together, if you like, these both characteristics of this God who is spirit, who made man in his own image, both male and female made he them in his own image, we see this God, yes, he's willing to take us. That's most wonderful, isn't it? And we also see our God hovering over our lives, like a mother does over her children. How many of you mothers hover? You never stop, do you, Hillary? Never letting the child out of her sight if she can. Always there to comfort us when we hurt. And that's what God is too. Pick us up when we fall. Encourage us. At times, lovingly discipline us. You know, God knew, this is the wonderful thing about God, God knew that we needed to relate to him as father. That was the priority we needed. We need a father. And when you think about it, I think fathers make a big hash of things. I don't know mothers, but I know something about it sometimes. But God knew we needed to relate to him as father. And that's great that he's given us that wonderful opportunity to relate to him. But it's important that we see within him too those special characteristics of a mother honed to perfection. Because at times, you know, we all need to know that God loves us as a father with the depth of love, of caring, of gentleness that we associate with the love we crave from a perfect mother. Now, Isaiah chapter 49, verse 14, we read about some of God's people who were saying about the Lord, "The Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me." And that may be what you have thought at times. I think most of us have gone through those moments. Whether it's been through times we've gone through suffering or things haven't gone our way, and we've kind of thought those same thoughts. And the Lord responded to them with these words: "Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has borne? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands." God is so perfect in his love for you because he responds to you with the love of the Father and with the love of a mother. And he loves you in that way, whether you have responded to him or not. I think that is the most wonderful, colossal thing out. Upon his hands he has engraved you. That means something very special in that context. But I can't stop and see that without thinking of God the Son, whose hands were pierced for me. And you know, with the characteristic love of a mother, God wants all his children to be safe in that love. You mothers know that feeling, don't you? You want all your children to be safe. That's why he calls us to open our hearts to him, to come to him and trust in him, to bring our burdens to him, to open our hearts right up to him. For none other can care for us like our wonderful God cares. No other can. There's a story I've told about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 times here over the years because I like it so much. I think it's so much to say. It's one of Max Licardo's stories, his best. And it's a true story about a mother he came across who lived in a little village outside Rio de Janeiro in Brazil. And now this mother was a single mother, and she just had one young daughter. Her husband died when the girl was a baby. So this mum, Christina, had brought up a little girl all those years. When a girl got to the teenage years, 15, 14, 15, 16, thereabouts, she was talking about going to this Rio de Janeiro, this great big city they knew about, and making her way there. And her mum would say, "Don't go there." She knew what happened to kids who went there, especially young girls. More often than not, girls from the country ended up having to sell their bodies just to get by. She wanted to go. One morning, Christina woke up and her girl had gone. Christina did this beautiful thing. She went down the chemist and got all these little passport photos of herself, black and white ones, as many as she could afford. She then went to Rio de Janeiro herself. She went to all the seedy hotels that she would know that if a girl got into trouble, that's where she would end up. And she put her photo on a notice board there. Then she went home. It was some months later that her daughter came down the steps of a hotel one night after having to have to sell her body just to survive. And she saw the photo of her mum on the notice board. And on the back of that photo, it had the words, "I love you. I don't care what you've done or what you've become. I love you and I forgive you. Please come home." And she did. When I read that story, I do think of the story of the prodigal son, and I think of God presented as a father who waits for the son to come, and then when he sees him, he runs towards him. And I thought, yes, but there's also this aspect of God, you know, as a mother who goes out to find, like the shepherd who went looking for the lost sheep, even though there were 99 left. He still went looking for that one. That's so wonderful about God. That's why God made mothers and fathers, for he is spirit. And he's put within us this special sense of himself that when we give it to him, he can then bring it and use it in us to his glory. That's why for a mother or father to be close to God is so important. But for everyone, And this morning, as you sit there and listen to this, and as you get a bigger picture perhaps of your God, then commit yourself to Him fully. If you haven't, do it now. Just open your heart to Him and say, I want to know You. I want You to be my Lord and my God. I want You to just wash away the things in my life which are so bad and wrong, and the mistakes I've made. I just want You to take over and be mine. Because I can't miss out on a God like that. And you don't have to, because He loves you so much. Let's pray. Mighty God, we praise and thank You that You are a God who touches us in so many different ways. We know, Lord, as we read the scripture, that You are to us many things. We think of You as our shepherd, our brother, our friend, our master, our Lord. And Lord, we thank You that all the wonderful characteristics that are in You, because You are perfect, enable You to father us and to mother us and to love us. And we thank You for that. And we respond to that right now on this Mother's Day. And we pledge ourselves to follow You, to be Yours, and to know You more. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to